Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Welcome back to The Other Stories. My name is Luke, and this is a podcast, obviously. Welcome back to another volume opener. Today's episode, we're going to have a small chat with one of my favourite writers, Mr. Dan Howarth. So stick around for that. We're going to be talking about writing short horror stories. We did something similar last month, and we got some great feedback, so it might be making something of a regular feature around that, talking about writing short horror stories, submitting them and that kind of thing. So if you're into it, let us know and we'll do more of it. But before all that, let's welcome volume 66 of the podcast, Government Experiments. They're always meddling. Did you know the government puts fluoride in the water and it creates a crust around your pineal gland? Your pineal gland, you need that to have telepathic communications, not just with people, but with your pet dog. The government is stopping you from being able to talk to your dog telepathically. Did you know that if it wasn't for the government constantly experimenting with time and space, I'd be able to get the bins out on the right day? They moved the recycling to Tuesdays. What's that all about, government? Anyway, this month we have some amazing stories from authors J.S. Skew, Paul A. Freeman, Andrew Maple, Ralph Benton, and Madeleine Metz, and returning narrators Erica Ventura, Justin Fife, Persephone Rose, Jasmine Arch, and Manny Real Guy, who we all know is a man and is very much a real guy. On our Patreon, we've just launched a brand new exclusive episode, From the Ashes of Empire. It's about a young investigative reporter who meets a beautiful and mysterious woman as he attempts to discover the truth behind the lost civilization of Atlantis. So if you want to check that out, that's written by Scott Harper, narrated by Alexandra Elroy, and is a Patreon exclusive episode. If you want to go check that out along with, I think, about 40 other exclusive episodes, head over to patreon.com/hawkandcleaver and pledge from as little as $1 a month. We have got a bunch of lovely new patrons with increasingly strange superpowers. Honestly, you think I were making these superpowers up, but that's only because it's getting increasingly more difficult to make up new superpowers. Wait, does that make sense? Anyway, new patrons. Robert Finch, who has the power to move you. Not emotionally, but in the time stream. Jackie Ferguson, who has prehensile eyeballs. K-Ghost, the K stands for combustible. K-Ghosts can explode at will, but only when they don't want to. Courtney can stream Netflix right into her mind, a constant 4K resolution even without a decent internet connection. Paul M. Feeney, anything this man writes comes true. Unless you know it's, yeah, fiction. Sam Shine has the power to polish silverware until it shines brighter than the sun. And lastly, Toby Miller. You ever have an itch and you don't know where it's come from? That's Toby Miller. Holy wow, an amazing list of new patrons, and each of them has an incredibly strange superpower. I personally would prefer to see a new X-Men reboot with these guys. Maybe keep Wolverine and then, you know, have our amazing patrons. Get rid of Professor X. I'll be the Professor X. We've got a similar hairstyle. I don't need a wheelchair. I'll use a hovering Zimmer frame. Yeah, that'd be good. Over in the Facebook group, Joshua Boucher is running a brand new Choose Your Own Misadventure. This is episode 7, and it's called Perspective. And he's asked me to read this. This is going to be quite a bit different to the usual Choose Your Own Misadventure stories that he's ran there. Check this out. Good evening, fellow creatures of the Eldritch. This is Josh speaking. We are about to embark upon another misadventure together. This time you will help build the story, much more than when your only interaction was choosing a simple letter. Oh no, my fine friends, this time you will help write the story. I'll write the main body of the story, Joshua will, but instead of giving you choices, you're to write a few sentences about which direction you want the story to go. Then we will vote on your entries and he will write the next section based on the prompt that gets the most votes. So the first choice is already over on the Facebook group. Head over to facebook.com/groups/Hawk and Cleaver and get involved. You get to co-write this story with a group of cool people. Pre-orders of our best of collection will be going live on July the 1st. Be sure to get first dibs on that. It will be a limited run. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com/best of, sign up to the mailing list, and you'll be one of the first people who gets a chance to, you know, purchase one of them. So yeah, after last month's volume opener, we had a discussion about what we look for when reading TOS submissions. We had a bunch of great feedback, so we'd like to invite a few more writers we featured on the show to talk through their process. One of our regular writers, Dan Howarth, I think we published maybe nine stories of his or something like that over the years. He's just brought out a new collection of short stories called Dark Missives, and it's been getting rave reviews. Seriously, some of the reviews are saying it's the best book they've read this year, or that it's very, very scary. I've even put a blurb in myself. It's a great collection. So let's jump from me right now to me a couple of days ago and have a quick chat with horror author and all-around great guy, Dan Howarth. I'm joined by a certain Mr. Dan Howarth. How's it going, Dan?
Great. Thanks for having me, Luke. Excited to be here.
Yeah, no worries at all. It's great to have you. You've been on the show spiritually. I mean, many, many times. How many stories have you had on the other stories?
I think it's 7.
I feel like it's more.
Yeah, maybe it is. Oh, God. Yeah, this is poor knowledge. I mean, this is the most basic question you're probably going to ask me.
Well, it gets to, I mean, once you get past 3, it's difficult to keep count.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's a proud moment getting on for the first time. And I think after I kind of cracked that nut, I just got rolling, really.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so you first submitted a story, I'm trying to remember which story it was. Anderson, maybe Dustin?
Yeah, Anderson was the first one. Yeah.
And that was a couple of years ago. But that's not when you first started writing, right?
No, I'd been writing, well, on and off for many years before that, and then probably seriously for about 18 months beforehand.
Okay, and how young were you when you first started?
My first proper writing memory was when we were kind of asked in primary school, so I would have been about 7 or 8, to write a book. And I was like mad on Thunderbirds, like Gerry Anderson stuff. Captain Scarlet in particular, so I wrote some, basically you couldn't kill Captain Scarlet in the program, so I wrote a book where they killed him. Which, looking back on it now, probably fairly dark for an 8-year-old. But yeah, I did my own illustrations, which I probably wouldn't recommend.
Have you still got that book?
Yeah, I've still got it, yeah. It's the quality is quite poor, it has to be said. But that's the first like real memory of like kind of producing something. Yeah, and that was like probably the most enjoyable project I ever had in like my actual education.
And then it never stopped.
Yeah, in one form or another. Like it was never always prose, like through school, kind of in bands and, you know, wrote songs and stuff like that, and then kind of at university wrote comedy sketches and various other little bits that were always funny but never, I don't know, never really went anywhere. And then I think it was kind of after that got to about 2009, I think it was, when I first sat down and started writing short stories and horror. It was just always horror and crime, kind of the darker side of fiction that just came out as soon as I switched to prose, really.
I always feel like writing comedy and writing horror, I know they're different, but there's some kind of element that's similar. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the punchline, you know, someone dies at the end of a horror story, but there's a punchline in a comedy sketch or something. I feel like there's similarities there.
There's an extremely thin line between kind of laughing and screaming, I guess, isn't there? But I mean, you see where it's like blended. You think about things like League of Gentlemen and Psychoville, like Shaun of the Dead. You know, when that kind of fine line is hit, it's, you know, it's a real sweet spot, particularly for me. That's the area that I absolutely love, it has to be said.
Yeah, and I feel like that's whenever one of your stories comes in, I think maybe that's what I respond to myself. I think I gave you a blurb for your new book, and it's something along the lines of, you kind of make me feel a little bit filthy. Like your stories are dark to the point where it's like, ooh, that might just be, it could be too far, but I enjoy it because it's really pushing that boundary, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, somebody actually who was reviewing the book, kind of I sent it to them and they were just like, this is the most awesome blurb I've ever heard, referring to yours, which I thought was funny. And it's true, it's, you know, it's a great quote. But yeah, I mean, you know, horror's there to make people uncomfortable. And I guess, you know, it's the same with writing comedy. If you can make yourself laugh while you're writing it, you'll probably make somebody else laugh. And if you can make yourself feel uncomfortable writing horror, then it's probably going to work for the reader or in this case, the listener.
Do you ever feel like you've gone too far, or do you know when to stop?
So collaboration was the closest I've come to probably crossing the line, and the listeners that have heard or read that story as it is now in my collection have commented on it, saying, you know, it's very, very close. And I sent it to a beta reader, and he basically replied saying, dude, have you lost your fucking mind? And I thought, this story is either going to be utter, you know, it's going to go down so well, or it's going to sink my career without a trace. And actually, reading the reviews, it seems to thankfully have done the former. I think the most important piece of writing advice I've recently kind of come across is Chuck Palahniuk, the author of Fight Club, who says, write to be remembered. So, yeah, I think that's really a mantra that I've maybe taken to heart. And I think it's reaped its own rewards. I think between collaboration and algebra, which was another one, which was fairly close to the bone. You know, fiction's there to push boundaries or at least tickle them. So, you know, you've got to keep trying. And if it makes you, as I've said, if it leaves a mark on you as the writer, chances are it's going to do it for the reader too.
Yeah, I love my boundaries getting tickled. Talked about your new book, Dark Missives, which is a collection of 11 stories? No.
It is, yeah.
Is it 11?
Yeah, 11, yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so a number of the stories are reprints, or, well, they've kind of hit print for the first time, but they were produced on this very podcast before they were ever kind of published in a book. So it collates Anderson, Dustin collaboration, couple of others from the other stories, as well as some unpublished works as well. And to be honest, I've, you know, the last few years I've written five novels, and in the last 4 years I've written five novels, and I've been ploughing away at those, and then I kind of take a break and work on shorter things. And to be honest, that, you know, I've kind of got close but not quite with agents and stuff like that, And I was getting sick of writing these books and not really doing anything with them. So I think kind of Dark Missives was the first of these books to come together. And in some ways it was, you know, my learning curve of putting these short stories out and getting them out there, knowing what it's like to go through publishing a book and kind of, you know, go through that process, learn what it takes to get a book out there, to get it seen, get it read, and get it sold as well.
So where can people get that book?
So it's available on Amazon, any Amazon you can name, it's on there. I've also got signed copies as well, if you're into that kind of thing, which you can get through my website at danhowarthwriter.com. And they've actually sold much better than I expected. I expected to sell none, and I've sold more than none. So it's a success. I can officially declare it.
Yeah, cover art by Luke Spooner as well, one of the artists who works regularly on the other stories.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, the cover art is, you know, fantastic. And the only credit I can take for that is the fact that I asked him to do it. And he, you know, he knocked it out of the park, really. And that was a great process. He was very, very kind with his time and his patience, because, you know, I'd never commissioned anything like that before. And I think I asked a few fairly moronic questions, which he, you know, dealt with very professionally and then turned out a belting cover.
I'll link to the book in the show notes. Very much recommend it. But what I was hoping, so I know a lot of people who listen to this, this volume openers want to write and submit stories, not to just the other stories, but to other markets around.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give for people writing short horror or, you know, horror adjacent stories?
Okay, so, you know, the getting kind of Anderson published on the other stories or produced on the other stories was like, that felt like a really big like break for me, in that, you know, it kind of opened a dam in that I'd, you know, I'd got something out there and I'd kind of written something that was polished. But you probably remember before that I wrote a story which wasn't accepted, so I was kind of, you know, one out of two attempts by the time Anderson came out. And I think the key thing that I didn't get right the first time round, and I remember the feedback was, you know, like, it was a cool scene that happened, but it wasn't a complete story. You know, it's just because you've got 2,000 words, give or take 200 words either side, you know, it doesn't mean that there's not kind of room for character, there's not room for plot development, a beginning, middle and an end. You know, you've got to make sure that the story is as fulfilling as it can be in the 2,000 words. You know, you're not going to be able to write a novel in that kind of word count, but, you know, you've got more space than you think for characterization, for a bit of detail, to really leave your mark in terms of setting as well as just the actual events. But, you know, you've got to make sure there's some sort of character arc, there's some sort of clear curve of the story, the three-act structure, the beginning, middle and end that you look for in any story, really. You know, it's short, and that means you can make it snappy and you can make it memorable. You've also got to make sure that, you know, it is actually a complete story as well.
Yeah, and also at the end, you can end in a single line. I think one of your stories, the Kaiju story, Play Fetch.
Yeah.
It's almost like the very last line is the ending.
Yeah.
And it just works so well because of that.
Oh, thanks. It's I do try to, like, I don't know, I like to leave it to snap at the end. You know, there's, I think the best stories that I've heard from other writers on the other stories, you know, there's like that kind of that twist, that snap right at the end, and then you kind of come in with the outro. And what I often find is, you know, I'm hearing you talk and say the outro while I'm thinking, oh Jesus, what just happened there? And that's that's what I always aim for. And I think, you know, there's a number of
bit of whiplash.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of them, is it called Box Cutter? About the about a boy, a cardboard boy.
Cardboard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Have I just ruined it calling it Box Cutter? Edit that out.
No, why? No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, but oh, like, that was one that I just remember listening to and thinking, holy shit. And I think, you know, I think if you can leave the listener with that kind of feeling, I mean, it doesn't always have to be a twist, but, you know, if you're aiming for an emotional mark at the end of the story, you know, be clear, be concise. And, you know, as that music, as that, as your voice appears, you want that reader to be not thinking about what you're saying. You want them, that story just to linger for a couple of seconds longer while the outro starts.
We always say like a sting in the tail, but I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with the Chuck Palahniuk quote where you write to be remembered. It's like you're writing to, I don't know, leave that, it's like a punch in the face right at the end that they're not going to forget anytime soon. That's kind of what we're looking for, really.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's absolutely key. You've got a week between the episodes, and you know, I think the best episodes leave you when the Monday comes around and a new one comes out. I think, right, well, you know, last week's was awesome. Here we go. And it kind of, you know, it sets you up. I mean, sometimes I'll binge them as well if I don't have the chance to catch them. Obviously, working from home makes it harder to listen to podcasts. But, you know, I think that, you know, when you do get that kind of, they get very Moorish. You know, you want to leave readers wanting the next one, not just your stories, but the stories in general from the podcast. You know, and I think there have been some absolutely brilliant themes that have really gathered momentum in that way with some very high quality stories where one leads to the next.
Well, thanks very much for jumping on. I'm sure everyone will appreciate it. Is there anywhere people can follow you and your work?
Yes, yeah, so as I've said over at my website, danhowarthwriter.com, I have got a newsletter there as well. There's a freebie for signing up, and also, you know, going to be running a couple of competitions as well to perhaps win copies of my books and that kind of thing. And I'm also on Twitter, at danhowarth2020. So give me a shout on there. Happy to chat horror and, you know, general terrifying words.
Cool. Thanks, man.
No worries. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.